Good morning. We're very glad that you're listening to this recorded worship service from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for Sunday the 14th of February. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome to our worship. On glory's mountain tops of wonder and delight we wait for God's amazing grace to transform our shadowed lives. In the valleys of everyday life where noise overwhelms us we wait, willing to waste time simply being in God's presence. In the devouring fires of fear, in the midst of misguided living, we wait for the one who comes in majesty to lead us down the paths of humility. Our opening hymn. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Let us pray. Mighty Lord, heart of God, on mountain tops crowned with mist, and in museums filled with wonder, in tents pitched by singing brooks, and theatres filled with laughing children, in sacred space and in all the ordinary places where we live, you are with us, listening to us, hearing us, answering us, and we do not lose heart. Jesus Christ, face of God, we glance at you out of the corners of our souls and see grace surrounding us. We look at you conversing with the poor and rejected, and we see our family. We watch you as you come to us, to touch us, to heal us, and to give us back to God. And we do not lose heart. Holy Spirit, ear of God, when our lips cannot shape words, you speak them for us. When we can only sigh our needs, you gather them up and offer them to God. When our hopes are dashed to the ground, you pick them up and give them back to us, and we do not lose heart. The radiance of your grace is poured out in every moment, shaper of mountain tops, but we dull its lustre by living in the shadows. We indulge in fantasy games and watch shows which claim to be real, but we have trouble simply sitting in your presence, in your healing silence. We can become so infatuated with your love for us, we overlook those who hunger for acceptance and hope. Revealer of mystery, forgive us. In silence, may we hear your whispers of grace. In mercy, may we feel your forgiveness lifting the burden of guilt from us. In trust, may we go forth to serve your world, filling it with the light and love of the one who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ. The promise is true. God's light has come into the world and into our lives. We are graced with glimpses of God's glory, even as we are filled with mercy and forgiveness. Here we find the peace and quiet we need. Here we are set free from all that keeps us from serving. Here we are given mercy and hope. Here we give thanks to our God. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Extra special experiences. Watching a colourful sunset. Swimming or riding a bike for the first time. It's snowing! Now let's pause. Let a few extra special experiences of your own just come to your mind. Here's some my family and friends volunteered when I phoned them this week.
The first time I helped bring a calf into the world when farming.
Feeding a baby rhino at London Zoo.
My daughter's wedding.
One of my friends mentioned her daughter's wedding. It was with much excitement I received an invitation card to share in this very special occasion. Are letters, cards, invitations an extra special experience for you? Maybe a telephone call. Obviously, I know today it's St. Valentine's Day. In the UK, the giving of cards may be gifts, often anonymously. That means no one's put their name on it. They're traditionally shared just between partners, people who are married, boyfriends, girlfriends, with the emphasis on romantic love. But in American and Canadian tradition, the cards are given or sent out more widely to any special friends and family, to mums, dads, teachers. In a primary school class, every child makes a box, and every child in that class will post a small card inside, probably a heart shape. But this way, everyone can join in if they want to. So maybe this is a marketing ploy. But here in the United Kingdom, many people are missed out. Just before Christmas, you may have received a letter from the charity Crisis through the door. They requested me to complete a Happy Christmas message to help someone feel safe and connected. This message would be for someone I didn't know, but who Crisis volunteers could help over Christmas. School children have been encouraged to write cards and letters which were given to elderly people in care homes who have been unable to see family or friends and were also missing out. You may have seen the big smiles of the people receiving the cards or letters on television. It was obviously very special. A church I know has put a Perspex box containing newsletters on several friendship benches outside their church, and sometimes with a prayer sheet too. This bench was often used for people who needed to sit down, especially if they were carrying shopping and needed to rest a minute. What difference does it make if extra special experiences are shared? In my 20s, I remembered returning home from a camping trip to Morocco. I had seen and experienced many new special things. Snow-capped mountains, a boat trip to see thousands of flamingos, a donkey pulling a wooden cart piled so high with fresh mint stems I couldn't see over it. But back home, I felt quite lonely, trying to describe some of these adventures with my family or work colleagues, who obviously had missed out on these experiences. So I was very thankful I could talk by phone or receive letters and meet up with some of the friends who I'd shared these very same adventures with me. Do our special experiences have an impact on our faith and relationship with God? For me, some special experiences increased my wonder in God's creation. Others reassured me in the power of prayer when things went wrong, of course, or got difficult, but importantly in thanksgiving, praise and worship too. Maybe this is the same for you. We read in the Bible of the special experiences that people had in meeting Jesus, the extra special experiences, witnessing his miracles, calming a storm, the people he healed. His disciples and followers shared in these with him, and we gain some understanding of the impact of being with Jesus and what it had on them as people, and particularly their faith. A reading this morning describes an extra special experience for just a few of the disciples with Jesus. Now this are just a few verses of a hymn called I Watch the Sunrise. I watch the sunrise lighting the sky, casting its shadows near. And on this morning, bright though it be, I feel those shadows near me. And the chorus, but you are always close to me, following all my ways. May I be always close to you, following all your ways, Lord.
Our next hymn. Lord, the light of your love is shining. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Glory, mirror, dear, may our lights tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. River, flow, river. A reading from the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Elijah taken up to heaven. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word.
Kenneth Graham's The Wind in the Willows is a delightful, I refuse to limit it to just a children's story, a delightful story about the adventures of a group of animals we know well, not least Ratty, Mole, Badger and Toad. In one of their adventures called The Piper at the Gates of Dawn, Ratty and Mole go in search of the lost baby otter, Portly. After hearing the beautiful haunting call of a panpipe, they docked their boat and set out on foot. They came into a clearing and knew that they had reached the end of their search. They knew somehow that the song had been beckoning them to the very place in which they found themselves. Even though he was afraid that death would strike if he were to look on these things best kept from mere animals, Mole found the courage to look. He beheld a vision of a being that instilled both fear and awe at the same time. The being, panpipe still in hand, was fearsome and somehow at the same time benevolent. Graham tells it like this. "Rat," Mole found the breath to whisper, shaking, "are you afraid?" "Afraid?" murmured the rat, his eyes shining with unutterable love. "Afraid of him? Oh, never, never. And yet, a mole, I am afraid." Then the two animals, crouching to the earth, bowed their heads and did worship. Graham goes on to describe how the lost otter baby was discovered where the being had been standing. He notes how quickly the vision vanished and then how the memory of it disappeared as well, because, as he argues, the experience might overshadow their lives forever and make the rest of them pale by comparison. Yet the author tells us that the experience remained hidden, like the recollection of a just-completed dream on the edge of memory. Because of this encounter in the woods, Rat and Mole have been changed forever. Even though they were on flat land, in a clearing, in a wood, beside a stream, Mole and Rat had what is often called a mountaintop experience. The phrase mountaintop experience almost defines itself. During such an experience, one is rooted to the earth, but able to touch the heavens. During that moment, it is as if every goal is possible, as if there are no obstacles which cannot be overcome. The Transfiguration is an odd experience, quite unlike anything else in the Gospels. It all begins so normally, maybe not usual for us, but usual for Jesus. He goes, accompanied by some of his earthly companions. He goes up a hill to pray, seeking solitude and quiet for a time of refreshment and communion with his heavenly Father. But then it all begins to go a bit strange. His clothes become dazzling white, and two men, long dead, Moses and Elijah, are seen talking with him, whilst three of his closest followers look on in amazement. Even if you understand that Moses represents the law and Elijah the prophets, those two great pillars of Judaism, even if you understand that and see that this strange episode puts Jesus at least on a par with them, even if you understand that, there is still a great deal unexplained and a great deal that leaves me a little uneasy. But this I do know about it. It was an event that made a great and significant impact on those three disciples, and one they would have surely spoken of often. The episode is recorded in a pretty similar way in Matthew, Mark and Luke's Gospel, and must have been widely known. It was for those three a significant event, and it was for them a wonderful experience. Oh yes, it had its share of fear and trembling, particularly when the voice spoke out of the mysterious cloud. But it was essentially a wonderful experience, and one that Peter recognised as being good for them to share. And like all wonderful things, they didn't want it to end. When Moses and Elijah were beginning to leave, Peter tried to hold on to them and retain the experience by making for them temporary shelters or huts. It's almost as if Peter, impetuous Peter, it's almost as if he says, "Look, you don't have to go yet. We can provide shelter for you all." And he doesn't really know what he's saying. The whole wonderful, marvellous, strange experience is overwhelming. But he doesn't want it to end. But end it must. The two leaders of Israel depart. The voice sends them on their way with the command to listen to Jesus, and the group of four must make their way back down the mountain to where life awaits them. And ultimately death waits too, for Jesus is now on his way to Jerusalem, where the cross will be waiting. Great though it is, marvellous though it is, memorable though it is, significant though it comes to an end. Good it was, but now what is good is to go down the mountain and get on with living. And more than that, to get on with real living, to get on with life in all its fullness, doing God's work and spreading the good news about the kingdom of God. And so James, John, and Peter, along with Jesus, rejoin the people down below and run straight into a problem. The mountaintop experience is followed in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's Gospels by the distressing inability of the disciples to deal with the sick boy. The contrast is striking. From mountaintop to valley bottom in 24 hours. What a dramatic change. Glorious moment when the light shines ever so brightly, to gloomy depression when darkness casts its shadow over the whole proceedings. But isn't that so typical of life? We have in our lives both ups and downs, highs and lows, peaks and troughs, mountains and valleys. Maybe not many of them with the same intensity as those faced by the disciples here, and maybe not with such a sudden change from high to low. Yet for us there are times when we feel on top of the world, and there are times when we feel the world is on top of us. There is something to be gained from both the mountains and the valleys, though I'm sure we often feel it would be better to remain always at the top admiring the view. And when we're at the bottom, it's difficult to make out much of beauty in the dim light. But the highs do equip us to deal with the lows. This special glimpse of Jesus' glory, given to the three disciples on the mountaintop, must have been tremendously reassuring through all that lay ahead, as Jesus went on his way to Jerusalem, and ultimately his death. In those last days at Passover time, when they thought their world was crumbling around them, there must have been some comfort, some strength gained, gleaned, or grasped from the memory of that day on the mountaintop, when Moses and Elijah stood before them, and they knew that Jesus was God's chosen one. It did not make their trough any shallower. They still had to live through those days of uncertainty and danger. But without that strange experience on a hill in Galilee, how much harder it would have been. Women and men of faith can tell of the same thing. How in their darkest and bleakest moment, when it was difficult to believe anything and hard to do what was right, they could look back to a time when they knew. When the light shone so brightly it almost blinded. When there were no doubts and faith was strong. And they had been enabled to keep on and climb out of that valley and reach another mountain top, and in time a whole new range of mountains and hills. Jesus had a very special moment. He was transfigured, such that his appearance changed. But there is more than an appearance change here. As the cloud passed over them, a voice from the cloud says, "This is my own dear Son, and I am well pleased with him. Listen to what he says." Then Jesus, sensing the specialness of both the place and the time, led his disciples back down the mountain, back to the ordinary time and places. What a great lesson. Special times and special places are wonderful, but they are infrequent. That's what makes them so special. If we were together now, I could ask you about the encounters with the holy you may have had. You may argue, though, that you've never had one. And that's part of the trouble of telling these kinds of stories. They are all very different. Yours and mine cannot be shoved into the same mould. We need to be open to the variety of ways in which God comes to us, not try and make one size fit all. And I could pause here. But I won't, because we are not called to be special day or special place Christians. We are called to be ordinary Christians. We are called to be people who seek and serve God in the ordinary times and places of our lives. Just think how significant that is. There are so many more ordinary times and places than there are special times and places. We have a much greater likelihood of meeting God in the ordinary times and places. And when we do, that time and that place will be very special. Indulge me for a moment as I return to the wind in the willows. Mole and Ratty have had their experience of being confronted by the divine, and the vision has vanished. And Graham writes this. As they stared blankly, in dumb misery deepening as they slowly realized all they had seen and all they had lost, a capricious little breeze dancing up from the surface of the water tossed the aspens, shook the dewy roses, and blew lightly and caressingly in their faces, and with its soft touch came instant oblivion. For this is the last best gift that the kindly demigod is careful to bestow on those to whom he has revealed himself in their helpings, the gift of forgetfulness, lest the awful remembrance should remain and grow and overshadow mirth and pleasure, and the great haunting memory should spoil all the afterlives of little animals helped out of difficulties, in order that they should be happy and light-hearted as before. Mole rubbed his eyes and stared at Rat, who was looking about him in a puzzled sort of way. I beg your pardon, what did you say, Rat? He asked.
I think I was only remarking, said Rat slowly, that this was the right sort of place, and that here, if anywhere, we should find him. And look, why, there he is, the little fellow.
And with a cry of delight, he ran towards the slumbering Portly. But Mole stood still a moment, held in thought, as one wakened suddenly from a beautiful dream, who struggles to recall it and can recapture nothing but a dim sense of the beauty of it, the beauty. Till that, too, fades away in its turn, and the dreamer bitterly accepts the hard, cold waking and all its penalties. So Mole, after struggling with his memory for a brief space, shook his head sadly and followed the Rat. And so Mole shakes himself free from the memory of the wanderers and walks forward to lift the sleeping baby Otter, and with Ratty returns him to his parents. He steps out in service to tend and protect the vulnerable, to reassure the anxious, and to bring good news to those who live in dread. Just as the disciples descend from the mountain and are confronted with the needs of the world. What else do we learn from this event? Well, we learn that any of these experiences must result in further discipleship. You have to come down from the mountain in order to follow and to serve. These experiences of the holy, these moments of utter certainty, are not designed to last, but they are there to provide that certainty, and then to sit in the background as we go about our daily walk of discipleship. Sometimes, coming down from the mountain, coming away from a wonderful experience or encounter with God, is a deflating or depressing experience. But you have to come down the mountain. Moses had to go down to the valley so that he could tell people what God had asked him to after his encounter. The disciples couldn't stay on the mountain. They knew that, even though one of them had offered to build tents for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. But it is nice to bask in the moment. This moment on the mountaintop helped the disciples realize who this Jesus really was. Its placement in the context of the whole journey of his ministry helps the disciples to endure what comes next. Because if this event foreshadows the crucifixion, it also hints that the power of the God who is at work in this Jesus of Nazareth is not bound by time or place or by death itself. This power of this God will not let death have the final word, for the God of life and hope will always have the last say. Like the disciples,
we too may have much to learn. But like the disciples, we are not left alone on our journey. We are promised the abiding presence of the Spirit, the examples of those who have gone before us, the words of the Scriptures, and the knowledge that we follow the one who is God's chosen. Let us listen. Let us open our eyes and hearts and souls to the holy. And then let us follow with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here.
'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Thy glory fills the night. Thy face and garments like the sunshine with unborrowed light. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Thy beauty to and Elijah stood, the messengers of old. Fulfiller of the past, promise of things to be, we hail thy body glorified and our redemption see. Before we of death, we see thy kingdom come. O might we hold the vision bright and make this hill our home. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here, yet we may not remain, but since thou us leave the mount, come with us to the plain.
Let us pray. God of glory, open our eyes and open our hearts. Help us to see Jesus. God of glory, change us and renew us by your Spirit. Make us more like Jesus. God of glory, we see you in the beauty of the universe. We meet you in the love of our friends and families. We find you in our joys and in our pain, faithful and true. We see you revealed to us in Scripture. We hear you speaking to us in the silence. We know you in our hearts, and we find you in the person of Jesus. As we look at the events in our world, help us to see where you are at work. In our homes and in our daily lives, help us to notice the glimpses of your glory shining through the ordinary fabric of our lives. You are the God who comes close to us, though we are far apart from each other. Surround us with the light of your presence. God of glory, we live with so many uncertainties. Today we pray for people whose lives are always uncertain, for people in war-torn parts of the world, for all who wonder where their next meal will come from, for people who are jobless or homeless, for all who are fleeing from domestic violence. Help us to make our churches sanctuaries of peace and safety. May we be ready to respond to the need of others and to do what we can to tell the story of the love that will never let us go, the love that can change us and the world. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. You are the God who comes close to us, though we are far apart from each other. Surround us with the light of your presence. God of glory, we pray for situations in the world that need hope and healing. and in particular for Yemen, for Russia, and for Myanmar. We ask for words and actions that are full of hope and not hate, of forgiveness and unity and not division. May we all be mindful of the power of our words and use our speaking to build others up, not to tear them down. When conflict comes, may our words be controlled and kind, and may we always shine a light of truth in the darkness of discord and lies. We pray for all who work in communications and the media, that they would report with honesty and integrity, and that they would use their roles to speak truth to power. This week, may we seek to respond to the need of others with messages, words, and actions of hope and comfort. You are the God who comes close to us, though we are far apart from each other. Surround us with the light of your presence. God of glory, we thank you for the tireless effort of all the many different staff in our hospitals and care homes, caring for patients, especially those who are suffering from COVID-19. We ask that you would give all peace as they care for the sick or wait at the bedside of those who are at the end of life. We thank you that the ordinary tasks of routine, order and gentleness can bless the boundary between life and death. We pray for all who have been kept apart from those they love, for those who've not been able to mourn for friends and family who have died. And we pray especially for relatives of people in care homes. Surround them all with your healing presence. We remember people in our own communities who are suffering, asking that you would lighten the pain and distress of daily life. You are the God who comes close to us, though we are far apart from each other. Surround us with the light of your presence. God of glory, open our eyes and open our hearts. Help us to see Jesus. God of glory, change us and renew us by your Spirit. Make us more like Jesus. Amen.
Our final hymn. One more step along the world I go.
Step along the world I go, from the old things to the new. Just keep me traveling along with you. Round the corners of the world I turn, more and more about the world I learn, and the new things that I see. You'll be looking at along with me, and it's from the old I travel to the new. Just keep me traveling along with you. Give me courage when the world is rough. Keep me loving though this world is tough. Leap and see me in all I do. Just keep me traveling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new. Just keep me traveling along with you. You are older than the world can be. You are younger than the life in me. ever old and ever new. Just keep me traveling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new. Just keep me traveling along with you. Just keep me traveling along with you. Just keep me traveling along with you. Just keep me traveling along with you.
On the mountain top, where the air is crisp and the silence is clear, we see your glory and want it to shine for ever. We hear your voice as its whisper echoes in our hearts. We want to build a cathedral to capture you. Yet at the bottom, where stress lingers to greet us, we cannot wait to embrace its murky madness. At the bottom, where the forces of the world grab us by the arm, we cannot wait to listen to their shrieking seductions. At the bottom, where everyone is astounded at the latest celebrity, we cannot wait to follow the latest updates on TV. At the bottom, where your glory is changed into obedience, where your voice cries out for justice, where your followers are sent to live and serve. It is there we find you, transfigured one. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon us and all whom we love, this day and always. Amen.
Thank you.